If you have served in the Indian military, Army, Navy, or Air Force, served or are currently serving, could you just stand to your feet if you've been in the Indian Army or, and if you've done it in the past, and or if you're doing it right now, can you just stand to your feet? We want to honor you today. Thank God for freedom we have as a nation, isn't it? It means a lot. Now, shall we stand to our feet for the reading of the scriptures? The first reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Gospel of John, chapter 8, 31 to 36, and the second portion is Romans 13, verse 1. The third portion is Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 5, and chapter 5, verses 1, verse 13. John, chapter 8. Starting at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." The second passage is the Epistle of Romans, chapter 13. Verse 1. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Then we turn to Galatians chapter 4. Verses 4 to 5. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Chapter 5, verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Verse 13. "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another."
You may be seated. This is an amazing time today, isn't it? We had to make you work and prepare something to come because only grace is free. So we're just going to have an amazing time today. Evening service, I don't know whether we'll have it or not. After my message, you can tell me. But it will be an awesome time. Lord, we also want to lift up our nation to you. We look at the fact that it is strategically placed in our environment around us. There is complete conflict. And even though there may be a remnant in this country, in the light of the population, there is, we recognize that that remnant is a significant number to preserve us from judgment, we pray. We thank you for the scriptures that we have been given. We thank you for the light that is in our midst today through your Spirit, your word. Father, we thank you for what has been shared in the introduction. Bless our time richly, our fellowship with one another, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Shala had preached a message in Hungary, and he said this: whatever you do, don't go back to Egypt. And after the message, an Egyptian man came to him and said, I live there, why would I not have to go back? You know how it is? Sometimes we can say these things. Very interesting. You are taught in homiletics not to have these bloopers. Now, in our, if you are here and you don't eat meat, that's okay. I don't want to hurt your sentiments, but one day, we had a group of people invite the team over to their house, and they prepared, in a small little place, 10 by 10, prepare about 8 to 10 meals. So one of the pastors that came didn't know how to express his joy, so he said, you really prepared for us the fatted calf. It was a vegetarian, and it was complete silence. Could sense the tension and the sweat pouring out, So these are things that we say many times without intending it, and it, it can backfire in our lives. But I want you to understand this morning, in the book of Romans, in the 13th chapter, it says, all authority is from God. Are you awake today? Was the distance too much? Huh? See, one good thing about this church is there is no bar room and cigarette shop close by. So you'll have to really walk quite a distance to sin. You know what? In the wilderness, there was no chance of sinning. They had to really walk distance to... So I can't see you long distance. There's a reading glasses. There is no authority unless it has been established by God. I shared a little bit on Wednesday night, but I'll introduce these principles so that we can understand it. The absolute authority that we have is the person of God Himself and the Word of God that has been given to us. We can say that that is absolute authority or direct authority. But authority in the universe could not have been established if there was no creature to obey that authority or to submit to it, correct? I want your response, yes or no?
Yes.
I don't say I have a revelation from heaven and stand up and speak just because you read 1 Corinthians this morning. No, I'm just saying, I want to lighten you up. So God, in His foreknowledge, remember, God has all knowledge. He knows the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46:10. God has self-knowledge. He knows who He is. He's never in a crisis trying to figure out or find out who He is. Now, Rana sang that song, Who Am? God can never sing that song. He knows who He is. Even though everything here seems to be out of control, from the viewpoint of man, God is absolutely and totally resting in Himself. But in His foreknowledge, which He has chosen to communicate to us, He has purposed, or you can say He has decreed with absolute authority and certainty. He has planned for, He has provided. So everything that He has decreed in His plan, for which it has been provided for, will eventually come to pass whether you and I like it or not. So God is able to unconditionally initiate to us. He's able to unconditionally initiate to us. He initiates to us in an unconditional manner, because even though man is in the place where he is limited in terms of his capacity to know him, or limited in his understanding to know him, or limited in his power to obey him, God, because of his unconditional initiation, many times has taken the responsibility for man's disobedience, man's departure, his deviation from God, because of the unconditional nature of his initiation to us. And I want you to understand this very carefully. Therefore, God decided that he was going to create, and he created angels. At a certain point of time, in the eternal, in the eternal past, or the historical past, Lucifer, who was God's angel, cherubim, in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, decided that he would also like to have a sphere of rule that was not submitted to God but independent of God, and he decided that it was unfair on God's part at some point of time to demand that kind of obedience in relationship to authority. And so he decided to rebel against God, and in his rebellion he took one third of the angels with him. So we have what is called the Luciferic sin. What is the Luciferic sin? The Luciferic sin is not just that Lucifer, who became the devil and Satan and the tempter, many names in the Bible, not just he wanted to be independent of God, but he also wanted to establish an authority as he became independent of God. Now listen to this very carefully. So the devil's plan is to get himself and those that join him in his crowd. It is called the kingdom of darkness, the domain of darkness. It is to get individuals not to just get independent of God, but as they get independent of God, to come under another authority. So we have the word in the Bible for exousias, or authorities or powers. This authority that Satan has is an authority that he has been given by God in God's permissive will. And he is given some measure of power in relationship to that authority that has been established by him in his independence of God. He has given that authority to rule. He has been given so far, for the 6,000 years of human history that we have, till the point of time where God will judge him and the authority that he has established and all those that come under the authority at a particular point of time. So that everyone that is a part of that Luciferic sin and joins with him in his rebellion, which is independent of God and independent of God's authority, will one day, when they face God in 19:20 and Revelation 20, 10 to 15, will spend eternity in a place that is prepared for them. The Bible calls it the lake of fire. Is that clear? Is that clear? A decision by an angel to rebel against God and his authority that he was under, forsaking the privileges that he had to be in close proximity to who God was. The Bible says he walked among the stones of fire, and that is symbolic of the Trinity. He operated in three realms. Number one, prophet, priest, and king. He had these three offices given to him. It's not the purpose of this message to go into it. Jesus Christ also, when he came in, he took on three offices: prophet, priest, and king. And you and I, in one sense, also have these offices: prophet, priest, and king, in terms of speaking forth the word, in terms of standing in the gap, and in terms of our reign. And it is in the realm of our reign today to rule that I want to share in the time that we have. So you are not just sitting here today, just going to a church on a Sunday morning and wondering, who am I and what am I doing here? You are in the place of revealing to the angels in heaven and revealing to creation all around that God has specifically chosen you and me in his foreknowledge to be able to be a part of an operation which God had thought many, many years ago, some say millions, billions ago, in God's plan. And you and I are seated exactly today where God would want us to be seated. The chair under you has a number. After that, just look at that number. That's the number that you will put in the lottery when you go out. It's a secret number. You know the story of the guy, right? That had a wish. And he asked God, can you send me tomorrow's paper today? How many of you know that? I told you many times, no. And God says, okay, great. And so God sent him yesterday's paper today. So when he got yesterday's paper today, he saw the lottery number. And he bought that ticket and he won all kinds of money. The next time when the paper came and he was going through it, he saw one picture in the obituary column. It was his picture. Would he want to take his wish? It's interesting. God said, okay, I'll send you one day's paper in once, no problem. Advance tax, tax deductible at source, all kinds of taxes. Man many times wants to step ahead of God. He wants to step ahead of God. This whole phenomena of God told me is very unique. As a pastor, you get to hear all kinds of God told me kind of statements. And you listen, and you listen, and you listen. And time tells whether God told the person or he told himself. You and I have been completely and totally sealed in God's plan the moment you and I became believers. God put his stand of approval upon our life, not by virtue of what we will do, but by virtue of what Christ has done for us and by virtue of placing us in Christ. He put his stamp of approval on our life. Can you imagine that? In terms of our position, now God says something unique, and I'll get into it. So God now, having created the angels, and the one-third of the angels having fallen, something happened wherein which what God constituted it to be so in relationship to authority was now rendered dysfunctional in that sense. Even though two-thirds believed. But the principle is this, that the principle of obedience that God had demanded in relationship to the authority was broken. You know, when you have something unique, it's special. It can never be replaced. Once it's broken, you can never find something like that again. What do you do with it? We'll try everything we can to put it together. Pastor Mati tells a story. A lot of stories coming to my mind. By the time we don't have a problem with going home because there's food, so you can't run away. So I'm holding you captive to my message. Pastor Mati had taken a painting or a vase. And by the way, he will be coming at some point of time to visit us because he has to leave Oman every 21 days. So I'm trying to get him here at some point of time. And someone was giving him a vase to his grandmother, and he was making sure that it would get to his grandmother without being broken. So he got so preoccupied with maintaining it that it eventually broke. But he had to take it, and he never told her that he had kind of fixed it here and there with super glue. He's a painter, so his grandmother thought it was modern art. Sometimes you can look at his paintings and you're standing there and wondering, what is it? And he's explaining the painting from the Bible. So when you go for his painting, you have to take your New Testament and go. And he's unique. So that fine thread of obedience was broken. God in his foreknowledge said he would do something beautiful. He would create man. Now man is in the place where he can be brought to this point where he can allow God to establish himself in his authority by the principle of obedience. What do you think happened to man in Genesis chapter 3? Think about this. In Genesis 2:17, Are you awake? God commanded man. There was a command that was given to man. Why was it command? Why does it say God commanded him? Because man is under authority. There is a tendency to have a buddy-buddy relationship with God. Do you know that? The perversion and sensuality in which the church is going into is the result and the carnality of the buddy-buddy relationship that they have with God. They have no understanding of the holiness of God. In the church of Jesus Christ, there is a buddy-buddy understanding that people can have with those in spiritual authority. Imagine if you had a buddy-buddy relationship with Moses and you decided you're going on Mount Sinai just for a walk one morning because it looks good so that your generations will be in tourism, in the tourism department years later on. And God said, if anyone touches that building, animal or man, or comes next to it, he is going to die. No. There is something that is absolutely important. It's a fine line in which we walk as believers. It's beautiful. We have this amazing liberty. But we also have to understand that God is trying to establish something in our lives, and we cannot become sentimental. We cannot at any point of time become casual. We cannot become careless. We cannot become indifferent. We cannot become familiar, and we cannot enter into dullness. Five things. We cannot be casual. We cannot be careless. We cannot be indifferent. We cannot be familiar, and there can be no measure of dullness in our lives. And this is what happens to us in the kingdom of God. So when Adam was placed, Adam and Eve, the first man and woman in the garden, and God commanded him, it says in 2:16 and 17, God commanded him. You know what happened when the devil came in? The devil beguiled himself. He beguiled the woman. He entered in through the serpent. He wanted to camouflage. He wanted to come as an angel of light. It says that, you know how he approached? He didn't approach a woman based upon the commandment. He approached and said, has God said? In 1 Kings chapter 13, if you will read, there's a story of a young prophet on fire for God. He's supposed to go to the person Jeroboam, and he's supposed to rebuke him for the idolatry that he has. And God told that man in 1 Kings 13, I do not want you at any point of time to go to the king's house if he calls you. That was usurped authority, northern and southern kingdom. Do not go there. And the man pronounced judgment. And when Jeroboam said, come to my house, he said, no, it was charged to me by the Lord. It was charged. And he won over the temptation. He won over the ploy. But the old prophet came and said, an angel appeared to me and invited him to his house. And the response from this young man was not anymore a charge. It was said to me, you see. He lowered the standard that was given to him by God. Whenever we lower the standard, the measure and the standard that is given to us by God, we come under another force. We come under another influence. It's not about me. It's not about, you know my design. You know my makeup, God. You know, it's not. There is another authority that is here on the world today. It's a usurped authority. It belongs to the kingdom of darkness. It belongs to Satan's table of organization. It's another authority that wants people to come under it, but it disguises himself and even uses things from the scriptures to bring people under its authority and under its power. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul is saying there's another gospel in Galatians 1, 6, 7, 8, and chapter 1, 6 to 9? Isn't it? Isn't he saying that there are people that masquerade themselves as apostles? 2 Corinthians 11, 11 to 14. Why is he saying that to the Corinthian church? Why is he saying that to the Galatian church? He's saying there is another authority that is on the earth. It's invisible. Its force is supernatural. It comes with light, which is not the light that God brings. It's a perfect counterfeit light, and it can only be discerned through the word. Now let me say this. Number one, there are two things. There's the authority of God. The authority of God is found exclusively in the Word of God. That's it. Number two, the presence of God, the power of God is found in the presence of God. Listen to this very clearly this morning. The authority of God is found in the Word of God. The power of God is found in His Remember this, God can withdraw his presence, but he cannot withdraw his authority. God can withdraw his presence, but he cannot withdraw his power. He told the church in Ephesians in chapter 2, 1 to 7, I will take my lampstand from you. I'm going to take, if you do not repent from here, I'll take. The lampstand was the testimony of Christ. And what is unique about this building? The uniqueness of this building is Christopher built it. But there is another side to it. It is the fact that God is in it. The uniqueness of the church is that it is indwelt by the person of the living God. The uniqueness of your life as a born-again Christian, one that is blood-bought by Jesus Christ, if you have believed that he came into this world, he died, he was buried, he rose again, he shed his blood for your forgiveness, is that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in John 14:17, 14:21, 14:23, 1 Corinthians 6:19, 1 Corinthians, Colossians 1:27, they live in you. You and I are a testimony of the kingdom of God operating inside of us. So what happens to us? We do not have to be told about authority. We discern it because we have met it in Christ. Now, these guys in the Navy and Army and all these guys, they are here. They are wearing civil clothes. If they came in uniform, what do you think? Huh? All of a sudden, you know, if they walk on the road with a uniform, just wear khaki with one white cap, all the bikers who don't have license will go the other way. You know, when you're without ticket in the train, anyone with a black suit, think, is that TC? When something comes between the conscience of man and the word of man, he loses his authority. When something comes between the heart of man and the presence of God, he loses his power. Let me say it again. When something comes between the conscience of man and his and the word, he loses his what? Speak to me. So when Adam sinned, he lost the conscience. The word of God lost its authority in his conscience. His conscience was now awakened to a sense of sin. Before that, it was not awakened because he was innocent. He didn't know what sin was. Now, having sinned, he was awakened to his own guilt, his own shame, his own nakedness. So the word did not have authority in his conscience. A separation from the conscience and sin brought him to a place where he lost his authority. He has no capacity to resist the enemy. He's now come under the bondage. He's come under the authority. He's come under the government of another authority. You understand that? And Satan left him there in his condition to wallow in his misery. And God initiated unconditionally to him and gave him that messianic promise that the seed of the woman will crush what? So what is Satan's plan? Is to get us divided in our conscience. Get the conscience divided from the word so that we would lose our authority. Second thing he will get is to get our hearts, where the affections are, devoid of his presence so that we would lose our. You lose your authority in life as a believer. You lose your power in your life as a believer. And we are victims in this life for the satanic forces of hell. So God, having in his foreknowledge seen that neither angel nor man is in a position of establishing his authority in his plan, in the foreknowledge and predeterminate counsel of God, as was mentioned in Acts 2:23, they sat, the Father, Son, and the Trinity, in the councils of their eternal convention, and they decided that the Son is going to go down, and he will come down to this earth, he will be born according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, he will be born, he will come according to the scriptures. He is the Son of God, but he's also a man. God and man in the same body, the only theanthropic person, God and man in one body, will ever be that way for all eternity. He is seated today at the right hand of the Father, at the majesty on high. It says here in 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, he's there. Hebrews 1, 3, Hebrews chapter 8, 12, Hebrews chapter 10, 17, 8, he says that he's seated there waiting to come down in Psalm 110, verse 1 and 4, till the enemies are going to be made a footstool. Until that point of time, there is a spiritual government at all times that is operating in the earth. Whether you can see it or not is another question altogether. Adam was given that opportunity. What is this? What was the privilege? Have dominion. Over whom? Eve. Submit to me. The chapatis are cold this morning. Where's my breakfast? His wife is standing there looking at this guy. He has the privilege of being a testimony to the angels today. If you only recognize, he's wearing the wrong hat. But he's not wearing the wrong hat, he's wearing the wrong socks. Think about this every moment. We're not living in sinless perfection here, but I'm reminded myself, every time we become careless, casual, indifferent, familiar, and dull. A man and a woman have a family. They become casual. They become, as born-again Christians, every time that happens, they lose out on the possibilities of glorifying a God in heaven that has created them in His image, saved them by the blood of Jesus to be in the place of revealing this kind of obedience which establishes God's authority in their lives, in their marriage, in the family, in the home, in the place they are at, in the nation, so the nation turns to God. So church has become a place of entertainment more than a place where they sense the holiness of God. You can go to a place today and be entertained without sinning. It's called the church. In what realm? Not here. I'm not talking about church. In the Laodicean realm, where you can go and you can get entertained in church without sinning. That means you won't be attacked for going to the movie theater, to the bar room, because you go to church. And you can be entertained and you can know nothing of this message that I'm saying today. And multitudes are flocking to those places. They call that revival. Those things are despicable in the sight of God. These kids, they come to our Christian school, they go to whatever. They must be taught at a young age that there is a kind of authority that they are accountable to in the home, in the school, there's a kind of authority. And their seeming obedience is a testimony to what Christ has done. So what happened in a few minutes? What did Christ do? He came from heaven to thee. According to the scriptures, according to the law, Galatians 4:4, the scriptures were read. And he lived a perfect life. You know what was, this is the thing, I want to say this. What is the plan of Satan? The plan of Satan is to get a person to disobey the will of God by doubting his love. Very simple. He comes, he tries to get a person to disobey the Father's heart by doubting his love. So he will come with a plan to doubt the love of the Father so that you and I will be completely disconnected from the will of God. You know what happened when Jesus came? What was Jesus' main motive and purpose in his life? It was the will of the Father. It says in Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 to 8, Hebrews chapter 10, 5 onwards, I come in the volume of this book as it is written, O Lord, to do thy will. He didn't say do thy will. I delight to do thy will. The Son on the earth was a perfect example of what actually God intended his creation to be. So that God would establish his authority in such a manner so that the kingdom of God and the blessings that associate with that kingdom would come on the basis of man obeying, so that God would confirm his authority. And that authority that God confirms upon a man is discerned by an anointing. Let me say it again, is discerned by an anointing. So when a message is preached and the man of God is anointed, and he's not saying I'm anointed, but he is the anointed man of God in God's plan. And when he speaks the message, what does the anointing do? It breaks the... I don't know if you have run on errands and have taken eggs home by mistake, and on the way it's like tat tat and you're swinging it to your door, and then you go home and it's like chicks are born in the plastic bag. The anointing breaks the yoke. Acts 10:38 says Jesus Christ, anointed by God, went about healing every person that was oppressed by the devil. The devil is oppressing people today. And because we do not understand the nature and character of obedience in relationship to God's authority being established, because we have become casual, indifferent, careless, etc., and things I have said, we back away. We back away because we can see the force that is coming against us, and we back away because our conscience has been separated from the word, so we have lost our authority, and the heart has been separated from God's presence, so we have lost our power, and we back away and we say, you know what, I'll call my pastor.
I'll call my pastor. So he calls the pastor. Pastor, let me call my pastor. And this responsibility is delegated because the person has lost authority. And once he has lost authority, he will make a decision on the basis of the needs that control his life, not on the basis of the decision of the kingdom of God. But they will add God's words to their decisions in life. And the kingdom of God is not advanced. A life that is rooted in self-preservation and self-occupation is advanced. Many times this time people ask me, where do you get the money from to build the church? I said, where I live, nobody knows. There is a gold quarry there. When I'm upset with myself, I just go and dig. I found a nugget. And they ask the question, where did you get all this? It doesn't matter. Then people ask me, how much money you need? I said, if I say, will you give? It is not about where we are getting the money from. It is about God confirming us in the place where his authority has been established through the principle of obedience so that he would be glorified and the blessings of the kingdom are released. If you bring your kid here, and if you are right on God in this pulpit, in this ministry, I guarantee you, you will go through trials and tribulations, but you will be a recipient of not blessings, kingdom blessings. This was not planned yesterday. This was planned before the foundations of the world, but it is brought now to you in the Spirit by God. The Spirit takes from Christ and gives to us, and we give it to the church. 7 times in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3. So I want you to understand this in closing. Christ learned, number one, or 2 things he did. Number one, first he emptied himself. And second thing he did is he humbled himself. What did he do? God, I'll go down, but I'm a man, but I also will want to exercise the prerogatives of deity as I'm down. Huh? You can take the shining light outside, but I still want the prerogatives of deity. So if someone came to Jesus and rebuked him, Jesus would just blow him off. He's gone to the North Pole. No. You read the Psalm, Psalm 22, you read Isaiah chapter 40. He was smitten, he was rebuked, he was reviled. Huh? Correct? His beard was plucked, his hair was plucked. All these things happened to him. He never exercised his prerogative as God in his humanity. He surrendered it. He veiled it. So if you looked at him, he was just like a normal man, but he was the God-man. So what did he do? Emptied himself. He made a volitional choice to empty himself. The second thing he had to do is, when he was on the earth, this he did when he left heaven to come to the earth. He didn't empty himself when he came here. That he did when he left heaven to come. But when he came here, he did something beautiful. He humbled himself. How? Not just being found as a man, found as a serpent. Servant. Not just as a servant. On the cross, dying one of the worst deaths you can ever die, the death of a criminal. Vijay was in Bible school. He's an engineer. I told him, Vijay, when you go there, you won't have the scepter of righteousness ruling you. They might give you a baldi and a broom. Baldi means bucket. Now, we don't have buckets when you go to Bible. I was trying to find a bucket and when I went to Bible. I couldn't find. The bathtub is no bucket. Or wash clothes every day. You can't wash once a week. They only wash clothes once a week. My friends used to only have bath once a week and wash once a week. I know because of what is in the washing machine. No, but he was in the flow crew, cleaning the campus, vacuuming. I'm an engineer. The engine that drives God's kingdom are servants. What is it? The engine that drives God's kingdom is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit uses servants of God to propel his kingdom. You understand that today? You know, Pastor, I don't think I deserve this kind of stuff here. You know who I am as I come to church? Yeah, who you are? I don't know who you are. God knows. Who are you? Listen. At best, you and I in Luke 17 are unprofitable servants in the kingdom of God. So remember, when someone comes and makes an accusation to you, say this. Pastor Shala, many years ago, a person came and gave it to him left, right, and center, and he stood there before the person motionless. And the person said, "Aren't you angry with me?" He said, "What you've said about me is less than who I really am." What did he say? "What you said about me is nothing compared to who I really am. So what you said to me, minister to me." Recently, this year, the convention, he said, when someone comes with some intense things in the ministry and they want to talk about it, and they come to him and they say, "You don't know this is going on." And then he said, "Some people in the ministry finally have come to know how dumb I am in relationship to these things." See, we are innocent in relationship to evil. Why? Because we have a calling. What is that calling? To establish God's kingdom through obedience, so that God's authority will be manifested, so that people that come are living today under the bondage and the lie and the deception of the iniquitous system of Satan will be completely and totally set free. And Christ came in Luke chapter 4 and 61 of Isaiah 1 and 2 to set what? Huh? He came to build his mahal. Huh? Imagine today if something happened to this building, or an earthquake smashed it or something. What would be our response? Our response would be, we would continue to meet. That place is still there, no? You and I, we are not like the Moonies or the Essenes, where we basically go into some uninhabited place so that, you know, we live like the Quakers or something, where there's nothing that comes against us. We are in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. God has put us right there, but he's put us to shine as lights. And you come into this ministry, you come into the kingdom of God, you come here, you are not looked at for who you are, your past, you are looked at for what God can accomplish in you through a kingdom. I don't care about what people do. I don't care about the incidentals in the ministry. May I say it again? I do not care about the incidentals. Which barber shop you go, how you cut your hair, what sari you brought, what jean you brought, where you want to eat your laddu, potatoes. I don't care. Incidentals are not important in the kingdom of God. The obedience that God demands of us in the simplest things of life that establishes authority are very important to me. So if you are coming here and you want to basically talk about the incidentals, I have no time for incidentals. I'm only looking to think what is important in this. So if you're having a fight about rasgulla and gulab jamun, go to Brijwasi Sweets. It is time for the church to grow up. It is time for the church to enter into spiritual manhood. Baby, infant Christianity is over. God understands capacities, but God does not want to limit me to my limited capacity. God wants me to take me beyond. Jabez said, what did he say in 2 Chronicles 4:9? Extend my, huh? He was not happy with the little, I'm happy with this. If I get a small 30, 40, I'm okay. God said 30, 40, that's waist size, brother and sister. You have to be very explicit with God. 30, 40 is what he doesn't know. Inches, centimeters, what is 30, 40? Pastor Mathi said once again, he did a ministry in Washington. He was in the States for 1 year. So everyone's saying, we can get a small basement somewhere. He says, my God is beyond thinking basement. So he walked into this big Lutheran church. It was not meeting. Massive one. He said, can I have your church for the services? And they said, yeah, take it in the afternoon between 2 and 3, whatever you want. The guys were shocked. How did he go? People are thinking basement. God is thinking cathedral. Now, people in the ministry, I can say this, you're my family. They said, Pastor, when we built our church, I'm telling you, I will give. And they got lands here, there, and everywhere. And guess what? When God started doing the work, no awaj. Awaj band. Like Bangalore band, Maharashtra band, Goa band, all the bands band. Why? You know why? I remember my Chandamama comics, Akbar and Birbal. One day they were both going, the camels were together, then one camel looked that side. Who? Akbar's camel. So he asked, Birbal, why is my camel looking that side? He said, maybe your camel decided, made a promise to this camel long time ago and is not able to keep it. That's why the camel is looking that side. Then Akbar realized he had made a promise to Birbal, but he had not. But that is not in the story here. What is in the story is Annas and Sapphira had a funeral on the same day, 5 minutes one after the other. Now, why am I saying this? I am fed up with the fact that we are looked upon as people from the third world. That when I go overseas, they are wondering whether I'm come there with my begging bowl or not. I used to go to the Asian Christian meetings and they should look at me and wonder whether this has come to milk another cow. I said, no, I milk oxes. I'm tired of the word handicapped. I'm tired of the world, that's my makeup, that's my disposition, that's I am. I am like this, I'm a drug addict, I'll remain a drug. Receive the authority of a kingdom, be healed, be delivered from your condition. Make decisions in faith to be initiated unconditionally in a sphere that you're not comfortable in as a Christian and trust God for it. I'm not telling you to give in, I'm just saying be bold enough by faith to trust a living God that can bring you out from the place you're comfortable into a place where you only have to live by faith. Where you might have to depend on every single meal before God. You have to depend upon it. This ministry, every month, God balances a budget. You ask the men of God here by faith. There are so many needs that come daily, and I say, God, how to do it? Sometimes I say, let's give, and sometimes the trustees might be upset. Pastor, you know, we can't do this and we can't do that. I don't know. But God, if He has balanced us for 20 plus years of being here, do we deny the fact that He will balance us? We're always going to live in balance, or we're going to live with a surplus? What? So one day the wife is just wearing an embroidered sari with some silk stuff and everyone's looking. Aren't you in debt? First question. And the person says, explains, no, someone gave it to me. Why don't you stand up and say, I bought it. You deserve it. Because you're in the kitchen all day and the best things you know is the rags that are on the platform. You need to be embroidered as a person, and God wants His people to be woven inside and out, and He wants them to have the authority of a kingdom. When I have the authority of that kingdom inside of me operating by grace through faith, I don't have to give an excuse for my failure. I acknowledge it and I go to God and say, I'm off. I'm totally off the wall. I've blown it more than I could. I want to be restored. I want to rebound and I want to get back into business with you in the kingdom because that is who I am. No money, I'm in debt, I'm in this and that, you know, and God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Maybe He wants to release a little bit of that to you, correct? Get excited, yeah? Because I'm going to be preaching in that church, Pastor Benny is preaching in this church. I don't know, you're praying. We could be on the mission field, my wife, myself, and my daughter. We could be on the mission field this year. I'm praying for Sri Lanka, I'm praying for West Bengal, I'm praying for Orissa. By faith, we are making decisions to go. My daughter's taken 1 year off from college, just in case people ask me, what happened to her? No, she wants to just come to Bible school for 1 year. And she told me that when I was in the Baltimore, suddenly this phones. I don't know if I'm going to college. And Marina and I are down there. I was thinking, the Pastor Guru had to go and whatever. But she felt led of God to take a break. I thought about it. I says, no, you're going to study, you're going to become this, you're going to become that, and you're going to glorify Christ. No, I'm taking a break for 1 year. Oh, I felt my wallet a little heavier. Hey. We are the sheep of His and the work of His. Does He care for us? Yes or no? Israel, do you know who you are in God? We're not in bondage. Christ says you are. Not of the Romans, but because of sin. I have come to set you, John 8, Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. You are not a slave under the law. You are sons, not just a son, and heir. See, in our families, parents, when they raise us up, they only trust certain people in the family. They know that the number twos are black sheep, no? In my house, my younger brother, they call India Pakistan. So we are programmed, number two, number one, number two. So they trust one person with something and they trust the other person less because he's constantly blowing it. So what God says, that's the guy I want who's constantly blowing it. Because you know what, he's not going to live in denial as he blows it. He's conscious of the fact that he's blown it, and I can only use those people that are transparent with me. The other crowd is a crowd that lives in hypocrisy, pretense. They are afraid. They don't want to mess up things because they don't want to fail. God says, I'm looking for someone that's going to blow it all because I'm not looking at that person to be successful, I'm looking at that person to be broken so that they can live in obedience before me, because they know they don't have it. And once they live in obedience before me, I establish my authority in that place. And when that authority is established, they can be used by God in a sphere to bring in tremendous blessings in this nation. How did this nation, how are the Christian schools, churches, and who came here? Mahatma Gandhi spinning a chakra, it happened like that. No, who came here? Missionaries came by faith. Planes were there, anything was there. They came on boats, they died, thousands of them. Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, read the stories. Cholera, typhoid, no inoculations. They came by faith, thousands died. And when these people died, more people came, and they established Christ in these places. Today you will weep when you see what goes on in these institutions. Not in all of them, most of them. People are afraid to live inside of them and to say Christ and to preach Christ. They have to maintain their security. God does not want this nation to turn to God. God wants these Christians in a nation to repent before Him. First. What is it? Us. God does not want, He wants this nation to turn, unless Christians turn to God. 2 Samuel 7:14. This nation is not going to be, we'll go technology way and make in India way and all, but we will not go that way. The Koreans, the reason why they are what they are today is because it was not just a nation turning to God. The believers that were remnant, like Yonggi Cha and all these people, they said, God, get the Christians to a place of repentance so that the nation can turn to God. You understand that? You are an heir today. Say that. Heir. What is an heir? You are an heir. You're not just adopted, like, and then you're sitting down and saying, he's adopted, yeah, just to let you know, because he looks different from us. You know, if you have your whole family and then suddenly you have like another kid who doesn't look like the rest, they all mean, no, who's this person? They're adopted. No, they're not adopted. You're an heir. An heir with God and a joint heir with Christ. What Christ is asking you is, do you want to enter into rulership with me? Husband and wife, do you all both want to enter into rulership with me? This whole aspect of authority, submission is there. But do you want to? Do you want to, as a family? Do you want to, as a church, as a kingdom, enter into rulership with me? If so, enlist as an individual. Man, woman, couple, family, enlist as soldiers in the kingdom of God. I'm not a pastor, you know. I don't know the Bible that well. No. The pastor is an office. It's a gift given to the congregation, but you have not to depend upon the office of the pastor for your relationship with God. You go to God for your, and then God gives you a man of God over you to complement you in your walk with Him. But you cannot substitute the man for your responsibility as a person. So, let's have a ball today. God is establishing His kingdom. Today it is in operation in the spiritual realm. I discern it. My pastor never came to me and said, I'm your pastor. Read the book. I discerned it. When I came to the body, I listened. This is the man of God. The Holy Spirit said, he's your pastor. I recognized authority when I saw it. When they hunt young talents, sports and all, these scouts, they go. They take the guy when he's 9, 10. They bring him. They pay the parents some money. They bring him to the school scholarship. Because they know the peanuts that they pay for the guy when he's 13, by the time he's 21, they get 100 million for him. Do you know the bid the devil is willing to make on our lives? You don't even know it. And I don't even know it. He is waiting to make a bid on us. Because we sell each other like peanuts. Our value system with each other is like peanuts. So he knows. The potential that is in a person, if it's not recognized, it's gone. It is, in India, they call it wasted potential, because we don't have money, so our resources are outsourced. And all. But then God wants to take these potential, 1 Corinthians 1, 18-24, the things that are not, the despised things, and He wants to raise them up into vessels for the Master's use today. Every person that walks into this body of Christ is a potential vessel for the Master's use. I don't care what the problem is. God looks at us that way. He wants us to reign in this life through one man, Jesus Christ. We are called to what? We are called to what? We are called to what? So you come here, you'll be instructed, you'll be loved, you'll be edified, you'll be challenged, you'll be reproved, you'll be rebuked, you'll be exhorted, you'll be admonished, but you will grow and you will learn to reign in your own individual capacity before God. If you recognize the corporate assembly, then you will honor it. If you recognize spiritual authority, you will honor it. You will honor it to the point where you will see a kingdom blessing come into your life. It doesn't mean that problems won't happen, but it means that you are bigger than the problem, because God is bigger than me and the problem. So thank you for coming back. 2 years, a long time we prayed a lot. We had good times together when we were there. And thank you for being an amazing church. You know, this whole completion can happen anytime. End of September, we are moving on the first floor, okay? We're moving on the... It's ready. You may want to visit it, but with supervision, and you can see what you're going to be a part of. From the first floor, we will be coming down in the rapture to this ground. That is hopefully before the second coming. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We are seated here because you have placed that. 1 Corinthians 12:7, 12:11, 12:18. You have placed each member in the body just as you have wished. No one is here by mistake. No one is here by chance. We have a calling on our lives. And we pray that you will reveal this to us. Whether people come on one Sunday, 3 Sundays, they are not forgotten in this ministry. They are prayed for by name. Pray that the processes that you allow us to go through will not be at the expense of withdrawing from the local church in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, but it will allow us to draw near all the same. You are a God that is much bigger than all the rational and the thinking and the opinions of man. We recognize that all things will work together for what? Good. All things are for our sake, and all things are for your kingdom and your glory. So we pray today, if you are here in this place, you've never accepted Christ, close your eyes for a moment. If you've never believed to be born again, you do not know you're going to heaven, say, Jesus, forgive me, cleanse me for my sin. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want this gift of eternal life. I want the power of this life, or what was just said today, inside of me. I want to turn from my ways, and I want to turn to you as the only living God. I believe in Jesus, that he died for my sins. He shed his blood on the cross for my sins. I want eternal life. I want forgiveness so I can be in heaven forever. If you are here and you have said this prayer, just slip up your hand, so that we can pray with you from here. If you've never done it before, you're doing it for the first time, you can slip up your hand in faith. Say, Lord, I want to receive this life as a gift. My behavior won't change me. My morality won't change me. My works program won't change me. Attendance in mosque, church, gurudwara, temples won't change me. A relationship with God changes me. Is there a person here? Or in the quietness of your own heart, you are saying, Lord, I want to be saved. Father, hear the cry of that heart, we pray, we thank you. Bless the remainder of our time right now. We thank you for the attentiveness of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, we said,
amen.
And let's sing one song. Pastor Anil, come on, he'll close.